David, can you summarize kind of what McDade's position is versus this current policy?
As best as I know, I hate to always speak for somebody else, but Jim believes that the program of record, which includes the Constellation program that he was describing, as well as the components of the vision for space exploration, which is what the program was named as back when President Bush made the announcement in 2004, had bipartisan support in Congress, still has bipartisan support, as you can ascertain from the congressional hearings that have been going on since February 1st, and should be the program of record. And in addition, it contains within it a very important space workforce, which is a very strong national asset for America, not just because they work in the space field, but because this is leading technology and skilled workers for the entire world, and the nation can't afford to lose them. So there are multiple components as to why the program of record should go forward and continue to make America the leading space nation and technology nation in the world. And I think that would probably be a summary of of Jim's proponents. He thinks Marshall is right where it should be for making rockets. There's always room for improvements and stuff like that. And the new program, he doesn't think that the commercials can do it in a reasonable amount of time with a reasonable amount of safety and for any cheaper than what it would cost to go ahead and complete out Ares number one and the rest of Constellation. And the gap, which you haven't talked about yet, but that is a huge problem, would even be longer in switching to commercials without some kind of NASA rocket in the in-between mode. And I think that would be probably where Jim would be coming down.
Okay, let me make a couple of points. One is, he mentioned in the last half hour that part of the reason why the space program has really bipartisan support, and he's absolutely right on that from my own analysis, it's almost the last bastion, George, in the Congress where Republicans and Democrats can operate as they did in the good old days,
right,
when, you know, elected officials operated on behalf of their constituents and the good of the country and didn't do all this political grandstanding that we are so sick to death of. And, of course, Charlie will be able to speak to that because he was on the Hill participating in these hearings and discussions and liaising between the agency and the Congress. And so he can speak to how we got the program that we're all so proud of that actually got us to the moon. But going back to Jim's point about it was a kind of a middle-class work program, there are something I think like 30,000 employees of the current shuttle program and the Constellation program that will be let go, to say nothing of the tertiary unemployments, you know, diners and gas station attendants and cleaners and all the people that support communities that basically have good-paying jobs. And when Jim said that it's in a politician's interest to preserve jobs in communities, I wanted to ask him, and I didn't get a chance to, and I want your perspective on what do you think the political payoff is for Obama and company by throwing, in the middle of the worst recession since the Depression, by everybody's agreement, 30,000 incredibly skilled workers all over this nation out of work at a time when people are desperate for jobs.
And on the streets, what else can they do, Richard, right?
And what does it benefit the nation, or to be very parochial, how does it benefit this president to be seen throwing tens of thousands of the best and the brightest who have brought this nation to where we are, the preeminent space-faring nation, literally out on the street? What's the payoff there, David?
Okay, so let me put on my new space hat for a minute.
Okay.
Because
you mean there is a new space hat out there somewhere, David?
Okay, so there used to be a term called alt space for alternative space, meaning the space community that has different kinds of ideas and approaches than traditional big aerospace. Big aerospace meaning the big giant contractors like Lockheed, Boeing, all of those. Okay, so that name got replaced through the space advocacy community, mainly the Space Frontier Foundation, and it's called New Space now. which is probably more reflective of what it is. And I have my legs and feet in that community. I'm part of a lot of the space organizations, the Space Frontier Foundation, National Space Society, Moon Society, quite a few of them. So this is what they say about this. Now, I'm not telling you it's right or wrong, but it tells me that there really isn't a payoff from Obama here. It is a different way of viewing the world. So first of all, a little background. There are people in NASA now for the first time that have very strong connections to and roots in the new space community. So let me run through them real quick. Lori Garver really knows the new space community. She goes to their conferences. She speaks to their people. She also does traditional big space. But she really does know the commercial market, the suborbital market. She wanted to be a space tourist, but Lance Bass won out on that deal, and then he petered out. This was years ago. And
just so we can make everybody come up to speed, Lori Garver is the current deputy administrator.
Deputy administrator. And she was a deputy administrator during the Clinton years as well.
I see. And she was appointed by President Obama, nominated by the Senate or confirmed by the Senate in those hearings. So she is basically Bolden's right-hand gal.
Right. Now you have George Whitesides, who is a brilliant guy, a total space enthusiast through and through, was the head of National Space Society, member of the Space Frontier Foundation, has really strong roots throughout this community, worked for Virgin Galactic.
Which is Richard Branson's
company. Really knowledgeable guy. He is Bolden's right-hand guy.
Whiteside.
Okay, then you have Alan Ladwig, who has been big aerospace, but he was also space.com, and he is very much knowledgeable and with the new space community. And then you have Charles Miller, who has a new space company, very much part of Space Frontier Foundation, NSF. And he has this division in NASA for being head of commercial space. So for the first time ever, the new space and the commercial space alternative types of communities are heavily represented in the upper echelons of NASA.
Okay, hang on one sec. So what you're talking about is the old NASA, which Charlie's going to talk about at great length. Which basically built rockets and launched astronauts under government contract to private industry, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, et cetera, mm-hmm. is in this new vision will be replaced by private companies, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, who will build rockets under NASA contract. What's the difference, David?
Well, there's a couple of differences. First of all, nobody's talking about in this community about replacing traditional aerospace. They're talking about opening up commercial opportunities. And this question is
new
what
companies.
But some of them are the same. You've got SpaceX and you've got a whole bunch of new space companies that are much, much smaller or suborbital that are not yet players in the orbital game, but maybe someday they will be. From what I can understand, the difference with a commercial company and a traditional big space, and boy, you ask 50 people, you're going to get 50 different answers on this. The big space companies are contractors with NASA, meaning they make a product that NASA has asked them to make. And the commercial companies make their own product the way they want to make it, and they sell it back to NASA